I thought about a mother and what they mean to us, what they are to us. For I thought about her heart and how big it was. She sacrificed for her children many times. There were 8 of us. And she sacrificed and she worked hard and prepared food and did clothes and so forth. And she had a great heart and a great love for her children. My mother was a very clean, clean woman. My brother was a very sweet woman with a great personality. She had 2 ears to hear all of my troubles and all of my sorrows and all the problems that I had. She had a mouth that would give me comfort. She would give me peace whenever I got in trouble. She knew how to comfort me. She also knew how to correct me. And it seemed like that my particular mother, and I imagine that most children might agree with this, but my mother seemed like she had 4 eyes. We've always heard about the 2 in the back of the head. It seemed like she had those. And I didn't get by with very much, and I'm glad I didn't. My mother believed in the rod of correction, and she used it. Well, if you would turn to the 31st chapter of Proverbs, there's a dissertation here about a virtuous woman. And I would just like to read verses 10, 11, and 12, if I may. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The question here says, who can find a virtuous woman? I know that we all here have a mother. We either have a mother or we've had a mother. And I'm sure that we all loved our mother, or we love our mother tonight. And it is very important to us that our mother is an honest person. Our mother is a holy person. Our mother is a godly person. Our mother is a virtuous person. I'd like to read to you the Webster definition that I have of a virtuous, of the word virtuous. It says, general moral excellence. A moral person. Chaste. Capable of distinguishing between right or wrong. You know, we're living in a world today where we're pretty much losing that. People are losing the ability to be able to know the difference between right and wrong. So I appreciate a mother that knows the difference between right and wrong. Well, the word chaste came into view. So I looked up that word, and it means pure in thought or act, modest, clean, innocent of unlawful sexual relations, spotless. You know, I think back upon my mother, and I feel like that she certainly filled the bill. She certainly followed these things. She kept her life pure. She loved to go to church. She loved to be with the saints. She loved to pray. She loved to hear the Word of God go forth. My mother was a very godly mother, and I do appreciate that tonight. I appreciate the sacrifices that she made for me. I appreciate the willingness that she had to not only take time to have me, but to take time to raise me and teach me the gospel truths. Take me to church that I might be able to learn about the Lord. All right. Paul said in Galatians 4 and 26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. I didn't come up here tonight to talk about my mother all evening. I came up here to talk about the Church of God. The Church of God is our mother. It seems to me, and it is in most camp meetings, that the focus of a lot of the messages and a lot of attention are upon the young people. And how I do love the young people, and I am very concerned for their souls. I know that they're young and they're tender and they're in the formative years where they can be led, and I'm thankful for their honest hearts and for their open minds to the Word of God. But if you would follow me just a little while this evening, I would like to speak to those that are maybe not so young anymore. I'm thinking about the 50s, and the 60s, and the 70s, and maybe even the 80s. I heard Brother Mark mention in this meeting about different ones being a pillar in the Church of God, a pillar. And I thought about a pillar. Sometimes you drive by and you see the homes with the big porches on the front, and you see these big concrete pillars going up to hold the roof up over the overhang. And I thought that those pillars, those things can't be hollow or they wouldn't be able to hold much. Those pillars must be solid. I would say they're solid concrete. Those things are solid and they're able to hold up something. They're able to support something. And that's the way I feel about the Church of God tonight. The Church of God is solid. She's the mother of us all and she is able to support us. And the Church of God, as I mentioned the virtues of my mother, she is a virtuous woman tonight. See, she is a virtuous church. She is here to help us, to guide us, to heal us, to comfort us, and help in whatever need that you and I may have. She's here for that very purpose tonight. She's here for that. And she's a chaste church. She's a pure church. And I love her tonight with all my heart. I think about where Paul said that men have hazarded their lives for this cause and for this purpose. And I know there's people here tonight that would hazard their lives for the Church of God. But I'm thankful that there's no spot. It's a spotless church. It's a pure church. And do you know that it is your and my responsibility that we keep it that way? It will not be a spotless church if God would permit someone to come in and bring things that don't belong in His church. But I want to say tonight, we might be able to come in and sit down in these seats, and we might be able to come into this tabernacle, but we're not going to bring into the pure, holy church, Church of God, anything that's unclean, anything that is that's got spot or wrinkle. We're not going to be able to bring it in and work in fellowship with the body of Christ, with the mother of us all. We're not going to be able to do that. We put on our clothes that make us look modest and make us look like a saint of God, and we teach that and we recommend that, and that's part of being chaste and that's part of being holy. Dear ones, it goes deeper than that. We've heard about it a lot in this meeting. We've heard about the Holy Spirit, and I surely have appreciated that. But I'll take you back. I don't want to turn to it, but over in Deuteronomy it mentions back in Moses' time, in the time of the law, how important God made it to the people that the young woman would be a virgin. When it come time for her to go to her husband, it was very important. It was God's law. It was God's purpose, His intent, that a woman would be a virgin. And over in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, if you ever want to follow it, it tells that when a woman is given unto a man and he says, he makes accusation against her that she is not a virtuous woman, that it falls upon the mother and the father to take the cloth as a token to prove her virginity. Dear ones, it falls on the Church of God tonight. It falls on you and I. It is our responsibility to bring the cloth before Jesus Christ tonight as a token of our chaste and virgin place in the body of Christ. You and I are meeting God tonight on His ground, on His line, and it is our responsibility to meet Him in that chaste and pure way, the only way that He will accept. Now that's back in Moses' time. That's back in the time when God gave the law to Moses. If you turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You pray for me. I have a lot on my heart tonight. We don't intend to be up here any longer than necessary. 5th chapter of Ephesians. 22nd verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Well, we find here that Paul is teaching us a little bit about the marriage of a husband and wife as being likened unto the church, don't we? And it tells the wife to submit herself unto her husband as unto the Lord. Do you know submitting is one of the hardest things it is for us to do? To humble ourselves to anyone or before the Lord, that is a very hard thing to do, is to submit. We all have our own will. We all have our own intent. We have our own desire. It's hard for us to submit. But the Bible teaches to submit, doesn't it? But it said the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, we're talking about the church of God tonight, our mother. It says she is the mother of us all. And this church is so important. This church is so great that Christ gave Himself for the church. I hope that means something to us tonight. Christ gave Himself for this. He gave His body. He shed His blood for the church of God. The ministers that have been standing before you, they are giving their lives to the teaching and the preaching and the upholding of the standards of the church of God. I trust and I pray that every one of us tonight are holding up the standard of the church of God. There is a standard that you and I must go by, and it is the Word of God. Anything less than that is impure. It's unholy. It's unrighteous. And God will not accept that. It must be as thus saith the Word of God. We believe that tonight, don't we? We all believe that. Well, Christ, it said, is the head of the church. And He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now listen. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, that reminded me of my mother. I felt that she was a very chaste woman. And she was a very godly woman. I had confidence in her prayers. I had confidence in her life. I've seen the Lord come down and heal her many, many, many times. Many times. When the ministers would pray for her. A glorious church presenting to the Lord. I'm not here tonight to present anything, but only what Christ has died for, only what He gave His life for and shed His blood for. He's presenting this church to Himself. To Himself. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, it doesn't take much on this old body to get a little blemish. Sometimes you come in and get up in the morning and you go in and you look in the, you go into the bathroom and begin to get ready to and get dressed and take your shower and so forth, and you look in the mirror and it don't take much to get a little blemish somewhere. This body that we live in is not perfect, but the body that I'm talking about tonight is perfect. It's a perfect body. I hope we understand that. Those of you that are getting up in years, and those of you that have been in this way a long time, I appreciate your life, appreciate your stand, appreciate your faithfulness. I realize that I'm talking to a multiple number of congregations here. And I want, when this meeting is over and you go back into your congregation and you begin to minister one to another and you begin to work in your congregation, and you begin to do what God gives you to do in your own local congregation, I pray that the words that you hear tonight will go with you. I pray that God will help you to realize that what you're dealing with is something that we don't want to put our hands on. We can't let the world put its hands on it. But God's hand is on His mother tonight. God's hand is on the church of God. We're dealing with something very serious. I realizing that the words that I speak to you tonight, I will meet at the judgment someday. Very serious thing. Now down in verse 32, Paul said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Paul had a burden for the church, didn't he? He had a great burden for the church. He was quite a minister. He was an apostle. He went around establishing churches in different cities. And he had a burden for them. And Paul wasn't able to be in every one of them all at one time. He had to move around. And it was his desire when he got a congregation established that he would be able to get back to that congregation to see how they're doing, see how they're getting along. So then there rose up Timothy and Apollos and all these different ones that was able to help him in the ministry. All right, 1 Corinthians 7 and 1. You stay with me. I believe the Lord will have something for you. 1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Well, Paul here is telling us something very important. He has found a problem at the church here. And he says, I'll read the first verse again, concerning the things where you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Dear ones, if it comes to the point where he can't contain himself, don't let him burn, but he said let him marry, didn't he? He said to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. And I know that in the world that you and I live in today, in the lifestyles that you and I see out in the world, that seems like that they pretend like this is not even in the Word of God. But it is. It's in the Word of God, and it's there for a reason. It's there that you and I will live a chaste and a holy and a godly life. Paul was concerned about those things among the church. I have a great burden tonight for the church and the things that are going on among the church and in the church. I thank the Lord for His blessings upon us here. I thank the Lord for His presence and the Holy Spirit. Dear ones, God wants to do more for us. You know, sometimes I mentioned that some of the times that when the singing is so beautiful and it just more it seemed like than I contain, I made the mention that it is no wonder that God gives us another body, because I'd never be able to stand it. If it was like this up there in heaven, in this kind of a body, I'd never be able to take it. Thank God He gives us a new body. God's got something greater for us. We appreciate what He's done. Been a lot of prayers go up. Been a lot of sacrifices made. I realize that. And we appreciate it. I was thinking during prayer tonight, we've been asking the Lord for this. We've been asking the Lord for that. And He's been giving us this. And He's been giving us that. It's time to praise the Lord. And it's time to thank the Lord for giving us that. It's time to glorify His name with thanksgiving and praise from the fruit of our lips. God has been merciful, hasn't He? Blessing His church. This church is important to Him. He's presenting it unto Himself. But you know, it's only going to be the chaste church. It's only going to be those that are having a proper relationship with God. Do you ever think about your relationship that you have with God? It must be a proper relationship. We can't bring anything into that relationship that will make it impure or unholy. God won't accept that. God wouldn't accept that kind of a sacrifice back in the old time, would He? It had to be a perfect sacrifice, without spot, without blemish. He's not going to accept anything less today. He's given the Son, His Son, for you and I. And I tell you, He's going to expect something in return. It isn't going to be lip service that He's expecting out of you and I. It's going to be living the life of the mother, just like the mother that I've been talking to you about. It's going to be living the life. You can come here and you can tell me all kinds of wonderful things. And you can tell me all how happy you are in the Lord and just all the things that are so wonderful about it. But dear ones, the Lord knows your heart. I'm thinking tonight, and I've been praying real very much over this thing. I have wrestled with this message tonight. I have wrestled with the Lord. There are souls in my heart. There are people that I know that need help from God. There are people that are in their 50s. 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s that have made a pretense and a practice of serving God, and yet they don't have the love of God down in their heart like they're supposed to have. Dear ones, that is spiritual fornication. When you make pretend a relationship with God and you put on a face and you put on a front before the people, that is a spiritual fornication to God. He will not accept that thing. I remember over there in the old time, over there in 1 Kings, He told the children of Israel, because you forsake my commandments, you make the word of Israel a byword. I will not dwell in your tabernacle and I will not dwell in your tents. Oh, God is alive tonight. We heard about that this morning. Jesus is alive. He's taking note of us. He really is. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. What's that? Respect. Husband, respect your wife. Respect her. Shouldn't we respect one another? But I wonder tonight, when we, in our experience with God, are we showing God the proper respect? Do we think we're fooling Him? Are we bringing something that is less than what God will accept? Over in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. I realize he's not talking about spiritual fornication here. But he says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You know, that's almost more than I can take in. These people called themselves a church. The church of Corinth. They called themselves the church of God. And they had fornication going on. Unlawful sexual relationships going on. And they were puffed up and they didn't mourn about it. And it didn't bother them and they went right on just like they was the church. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. They didn't do anything about it. They just let it ride. You know, sometimes people think if they ignore the problem long enough, it'll go away. That's not the way God deals with you and I. We cannot ignore the condition of our soul. I thought about the scripture where Jesus said so many times, well, over there in hell, that there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I pray to God that there would be more weeping and wailing now. Before that time ever came. We need some weeping and wailing now. We need a stirring among us now. Puffed up. They got puffed up. They got lifted up. They covered it up. But you know that doesn't work with God. You can't cover things up from God. When it's said, and we've heard it already in this meeting, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it seeks right down into the heart, and it divines the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not the preacher that stands up here. I don't know anything about your lives, but the Word of God does. The Holy Spirit knows where to direct it. Paul said, "For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit." I'm not there, but my spirit tells me something. There's something going on there that shouldn't be going on. I'm present in spirit and have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Do we know God? Do we know who He really is? The supreme being? The creator of this world, the one that created you and I don't understand how anyone could deal with such an almighty God in anything less but an honest relationship. I don't understand that. Although I do confess I understand how the devil works, and I understand a little bit how he comes in and he talks to people and people listen to him, and then they find themselves in a lot of trouble, and they get off the path that they once walked, and they find themselves, they're not walking in the straight and narrow way anymore, and then they become puffed up, and they become proud, and they become haughty in their spirit, and they're no longer willing to humble themselves, and they're no longer willing to come down to the place and meet Christ at the cross and get what they once had. They go on, and they testify, and they pray, and everything is dead, and Christ is not doing anything for them, and He's not blessing them, and it's been many years since they've been blessed. And yet they go on right in the local congregation, teaching, leading songs, whatever it is that they feel they're led to do. Really quite a burden. I've been wrestling with this in that trailer down there, asking the Lord for mercy to help me either to deliver it or something. I hope you're listening. I'm here tonight because I love every one of you with all my heart. And it's important that I go to heaven, but it's important to me that you do too. It's important that you do too. Back to Ephesians, if you would, in the 5th chapter. I trust that the Lord will bless. First verse, Paul said, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children." Oh, I love to follow the Lord. We sing those songs and we raise our hands. "I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever thou wilt go. I'll follow you." I love to follow the Lord. And what's the last part of that? "As dear children." You know, if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, in the eyes of God, you're still just a child. You're a child. You're still just one of His little children. Please don't get exalted any higher than that. Please don't get lifted up any higher than that, that you're someone special. That you're someone that has special graces that God doesn't give someone else. You're still His children. I'm His little child. And I'm thankful for that. Just as I was to be my mother's child. I love my mother. I appreciated my mother. Dear ones, I appreciate the mother that we have tonight. I appreciate what she means to me. And I'm ashamed that there would be people that would fornicate her. People that would make a pretense against her. You're not going to hurt me. You're not going to hurt anyone else. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your relationship that you have with God. You're hurting that. And you're taking an awful chance. An awful chance. Because you and I don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow will ever come. It is an awful thing to step outside of the will of God. Because once we step outside of the will of God, then the enemy is there to take advantage. And then he's there to do his work and begin to talk to you. And it doesn't take long to lead you astray. I know that some probably think, "Well, you know, I've been saved so many years, that will never happen to me." I preached a message one time on guarding your heart. You better guard it. The enemy is no respecter of persons. And I said, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." How about it? Your prayers go up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor? Does your life go up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor? Are you the example that God wants you to be out there in the world, on the job, in the home? Are you husbands to your wives what you should be? Are you wives to your husbands what the Bible teaches you to be? Is there submission going on? Is there love going on? Husband is to love the wife as God loved the church. What a great love that was. What a great love that is. Do we love our wives that way? All right. Now he said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." Let it not be named among you as become a saint. In other words, is we took you back into Kings where he said that Israel will become a byword. Don't let your life go out there. Don't go out there professing something that you don't have possession of, and your life becomes a byword to the church of God, the mother of us all. You bring condemnation and a reproach upon the church of God by the very life that you live. We can do that. You know, we find it a great privilege to be a child of God, to be called kings and priests in this world. Dear one, when we step outside of those bounds and we go out into this world and we're not something that we're proclaiming to be, oh, I say the repercussions of that will be very great. Many times the damage is so great that it can never be repaired. People's hearts are stepped on, lives are destroyed, all because someone has made a pretense of a relationship with God and God doesn't even look down in their assembly. I know that this is going on. I know this is happening. I know God would not lay a burden this heavy on my heart if it were not so. But fornication and uncleanness. I believe most of us here tonight, we know what he's talking about. We know about uncleanness and covetousness and idolatry and filthiness and all these things that's out there in the world today. Dear ones, that cannot be named among the saints of God. That can't be named among us. We are holding up a standard here. Jesus Christ said, and Sister Angela mentioned it the other morning, He said, "My word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that in which I please." Think about that. The word that you're hearing tonight, you may say, "I'm above all of that. I don't need that. That's not me." But dear ones, take it to heart because God is sending it forth and it will accomplish what He pleases. No matter who we are or who we think we are, it will accomplish what He pleases. We're in God's hands. We're in God's hands. Oh, the Scripture said it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It is. I've thought about that many times. It's a fearful thing to fall in His hands and not be ready. Isaiah, 65th chapter. We'll start right at verse 1. "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts." You know, I'm afraid tonight that there are people that are walking after their own thoughts. And they're walking after their own ways. And I really find that to be so sad. To be walking after their own way. And when we do that, we're not walking after the ways of the Lord. A rebellious people. I know that we probably sit here tonight and we say, "Well, rebellion is rebellious. That's a strong word. I certainly am not rebellious." But dear ones, if you're walking in the back, and back of light that God has given to your precious soul, you're being rebellious to the Word of God. You're being rebellious to that. If you are walking back of that, if you are not able to control your temper, and you're not able to control yourself and control your life, and your relationship is as dead as I've been talking about, you're walking back of that. You're a rebellious person. I remember one time God said, "My people, they speak of me with their lips, they hear me with their ears, but their heart is far from me." And I wonder if there's folks like that in the mother, or among the mother tonight. They're not in the mother. People like that is not part of the mother. No matter how much they want to be part of the mother, there's going to have to be some cleansing done. There's going to have to be some purifying done. Only chaste. Our mother's a chaste woman. She's a holy woman. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. Do you believe that when you come down before God in prayer and you seek Him in prayer, and maybe your daily ritual of getting up in the morning and praying in the evening when you go to bed, and you're praying to God and you don't feel that down in your soul, dear ones, you are provoking God to anger. God, as Jesus Christ has died, and He's done much more for you and I than for us to try to carry on a relationship like that. Christ was no phony. Christ was honest in heart. He was honest in purpose and intent. And He went all the way to Calvary for you and I. And you and I are going to have to go all the way if we want to meet Christ in peace. We're going to have to go all the way. They provoked me to anger. I don't know about you, but I don't want to anger God. I don't want Him to be angry with me. I remember when poor old David, he messed up and he numbered the people and he said, "Oh, God is angry with me, but God, in Your anger, have mercy." And I pray tonight that God will have mercy on us here. I know that there's souls here tonight that need to hear what thus saith the Word of God. I know that God is working here and He's been blessing in this meeting, and I don't believe that He's finished yet. They sacrificed in gardens and they burned incense upon altars of brick. That angers the Lord. A rebellious people which remain among the graves. Oh, they're dead, aren't they? They're just dead. And lodge in the monuments and eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Listen to this next verse. Which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou." I'm going to ask you tonight to turn the searchlight in. I don't know hardly anything about the people here on these grounds tonight. But I'm going to ask you to turn the searchlight of the Word of God into your heart. You know, it's not a shame necessarily to be in a place where you shouldn't be, but it's a shame to stay there. It's a shame to stay there. And I tell you, I've seen people get lifted up and get proud in their spirit. They're proud of what they can do. They're proud of how well they can speak or how well they can sing. That is not to be named among the Church of God. That doesn't belong in the mother. A proud and a haughty spirit, God despises that thing. That is a rebellious spirit. And God despises that. One thing that really burdens me and concerns me is the lack of leadership that we have in the congregations across the land. I know that this is a very serious need and has been for some time. But I want to impress upon your mind tonight that the Bible says that He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men, and He gave apostles, and He gave evangelists, and He gave teachers, and He gave preachers for the edifying of the saints of God, for the edifying of the church of God. And dear ones, if you are in a congregation where you do not have a pastor, you be very careful of how you usurp leadership in that congregation. God calls His people. He sets them in the church where He wants them to be. He will put them in the place of authority and leadership. And be very careful how far that you go in the leadership of God's church. It takes God's anointing upon you and I. I realize that it is a very great hindrance not to have a pastor or someone of a leadership ability in your church. And I want you to come together and I want you to worship the Lord. But be very careful of your presence in that congregation. Make sure you don't get lifted up or exalted in a place that you are not to be. Is that right? This mother is precious. This mother is precious to me. I'm hurt. I am hurt that anyone would come in and try to be a part of my mother and bring anything less than what the Bible standard teaches. I'm holier than thou. Oh, He took care of that. He said, "These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." Oh, God doesn't like that. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself, God will take care of. He'll bring him down. He'll be abased. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense, into their bosom. Now this is God talking to us here. God said these people, that these old Pharisees that are holier than now, remember the one that said, Lord, I thank Thee that I am better than he is. I've done this and I've done that in Your name. They're ones, it's not the works that we do, it's not how great that we think we are, but it's how humble we come before the Lord. That's what He accepts. A broken and a contrite heart Thou wilt not refuse, O my God. And that's what burdened me so much for the dear ones that are getting up in years. It seems like the broken and the contrite heart is just not there. It seems like that they have stood their ground for so long, they've accepted what they've become, that they cannot have a broken and a contrite heart anymore. Dear ones, that heart must be pliable. It must be bendable. It must be shapeable, that the Holy Spirit can come down and use you in the way that He can glorify the Mother Church of God. Oh, dear ones, I appreciate the young people and their tender hearts. But where's the old people with the tender hearts? Do we all have tender hearts tonight? We have to keep that tender heart. It's one thing to have a tender heart and come down to an altar of prayer. It's another thing to keep that tender heart. Do you know the devil will come along and do the very best he can to harden that heart of yours? And when that heart gets hard and it's not pliable anymore, God cannot work in that kind of a heart. He cannot do it. Oh, He said, I'm going to recompense these things even into their bosom. There's a call going out. God wants us, the Church of God, to move up. God wants the Church of God to be presented as a holy, chaste virgin before this world. We're not like the other sects and creeds. We're tender-hearted. We're open-hearted. We have the love of God in our hearts. That's because it's shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It isn't the things that you can afford to buy. It isn't the things you can eat, the things that you wear, the clothes that you put on, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's purity, isn't it? That's holiness, isn't it? We don't want anything less. This church was built upon a foundation, was it not? Jesus Christ, the foundation, the chief cornerstone. Oh, it's precious to me. I love the Church of God. I love it with all of my heart. I read in there where Jesus is the chief shepherd and He laid down His life for the sheep. I prayed to God many times, God, give me the grace. I want to be willing to lay my life down for the sheep. I love the Church of God. I think about my dear brother Beebe tonight. I love that brother so much. I'd love to be able to see him one more time. Oh, I love his soul so much. He's been so precious, meant so much to me. He's held up the standard, been the example, sat right there on the front row. Amen to the Word of God. He was a humble man. And his life showed it. His life shows it. Oh, dear ones, what are they going to say about us? When we come down to the end of the way, are they going to talk about us? Are they going to say good things about us? I realize it's not what people say about us. It's our relationship with God is what matters. Dear ones, I want to leave a good testimony. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. See, I don't know what your course is, but I want to finish my course. And I want to keep the faith. Because there's a crown laid up for us. Do we want to take a chance and miss that crown because we have a proud and haughty spirit? Because we're not willing to humble ourselves and confess that we've been living a phony, bogus life all these years. Husbands that have wives and you're in this condition tonight, don't worry about what the wife thinks. Don't worry about what the congregation thinks. If God begins to deal with your heart and shows you the error of your ways, you come down to an altar of prayer and you get the help you need. Wives, don't worry about what your husband may think. Don't worry about what the congregation may think. You're going to meet Jesus Christ at the judgment someday. That's what you better think about. That's what better concern your soul. I love everyone tonight. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Do you ever think about that? When we get lax in our experience and we get outside of the will of God and we don't have the relationship with God that we can have, do you ever think about the things that you are actually doing to God? He has the ability and the power to take you out of this world right now at any time. Falling into the hands of God. We're all going to do that. We're all going to fall into His hands. We're all going to go across the chilly waters of death and step out into eternity someday to meet Him. That's why we have these meetings. That's why the plea goes forth. That's why the call is made. Getting ready. I remember a message that Brother Carl Schaefer preached right here 2 or 3 years ago. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, I can't prepare for you. I have to prepare for me. But see, tonight we all have an opportunity to prepare. If the Lord has showed us ourselves, we need to prepare. Oh, we don't want to meet Him and be not ready. Over in 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. I'll try not to be here too much longer. But I do have a little bit more burning. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. All that to me is what's so beautiful about the Church of God, the Mother. We can abound in it. Brother Leslie, we can abound in it. We can grow. And isn't it so wonderful? When you're growing, what a blessing that is to me. When I grow, I can be a blessing to someone else. I can remember back years ago when I got saved in our little congregation back there. It seemed like when I came back and I went down to Louisiana and the Lord saved me and I come back to my little congregation and every one of them had a different glow on their face. Every one of them seemed so happy and so excited that they had a little child in their midst. And I begin to grow, and Brother Donald begin to feed me. And the Word of God begin to go forth. And I begin to abound more and more. The love of God just grew greater and greater in my heart. Isn't it wonderful that we can abound? There's no limits to how high we can abound. Yea, the deep things of God, the Scripture says, no limits. Praise the Lord. That ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I trust we understand what I'm talking about here tonight. Abstaining from fornication. Dear ones, if you're making a pretense of serving the Lord, if you've got a life that's been going on for years and years and years, and you've been testifying, as was said the other night up here, and you're down there, this is your service. This is your time. God is being merciful. He spared your life again to permit you to hear the Word of God. Yes, He has. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Why is that so important? Because that's the way the Mother is. Sanctification and honor. We heard about honor in this meeting. Dear ones, when we do something less than that, we blaspheme the Word of God, we bring reproach upon the Mother, what kind of impurities are we bringing into the Church of God? What kind of things are we trying to bring in to destroy the very Mother of us all? God will not permit that to happen. Therefore, He sends forth His Word and He warns us and He tells us. God wants a cleansing of His church, a cleansing of His people. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any way, in any matter. Oh, I trust that we're not talking about a brother. I trust that we're not mistreating or misusing our brother. That doesn't belong in the mother. That doesn't belong in the church. That no man defraud his brother in any matter. And he said that because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You know, that's why we see the saints raise their hands when the songs are sung. That's why we see the big smiles on their faces when they hear the Word of God go forth in the church and on the foundation and on holiness and godliness, because it is a holy institution. God, Christ is the head of this thing. Christ is the head of it. It doesn't get any holier than that. Doesn't get any holier than Christ. He's the head of the church. I love the church tonight. Please don't desecrate the church of God. Please don't try to bring anything in among me that's unholy, that's ungodly. I only want to worship God in the pure form. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in truth, this is a holy institution. Speaking of holy, John the Revelator said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. That's us. The New Jerusalem, the holy city, the mother of us all. Are we prepared as a bride adorned for her husband? Hope you're not weary just yet. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. We read here some of the qualifications of an elder, of a minister, and so forth. Paul is laying down the guidelines that we are to go by to be holy and so forth. But down in verse 14, Paul said, I write these things unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, Paul's not here tonight. The Lord has sent me up here to deliver this. But I believe this Spirit is behind it. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know, I teach you these things that you may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Praise the Lord, this holy institution is the church of the living God. He's alive tonight. He's alive and He's well and He's holy and He's righteous and He's godly, and He's calling you and I, His church, to be ready. He has given His name to this institution, hasn't He? The Church of the Living God. He's given His name to it. Thought about over there when Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He said, feed the Church of God which He has purchased with His own blood. Oh, how important it must be that He purchased it with His own blood, put His name on it. Christ is the head of it, and it's pure and holy tonight. And that's the only way that it can be. Anything less, we will not accept it. Christ will not accept it. God will not accept anything less. The Church of the Living God. Oh, I love that. You know, I heard a fellow say one time, I was working at work one time, and you probably heard it yourself, but he said, God says what He means, and He means what He says. He says exactly what He means. We have it right here. And you know what He means? He means what He says. You and I can't bring God down to our standard and our way of living. Dear ones, it's our responsibility to come up to God's standard. It's our responsibility to come up to His way of living. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Now that's easy for a little child to understand, isn't it? I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. You can understand that if you love God, you truly love God, you're keeping His commandments. Keeping His commandments. Keeping His word. Keeping the sanctuary holy. Keeping the church of God holy. The church of the living God. Over in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I counsel you tonight, please, as we sing a song, as the plea goes forth, that you will work out your salvation in fear and trembling before the Lord tonight. I feel that the Lord is definitely talking to someone's heart here. I believe God has burdened us with the Word of God because there's a definite need for us to realize that we cannot come in among the saints continually bringing in things that are filthy rags and that do not belong, that are unholy and they're ungodly. It's not to be named among the saints of God. Jesus said, the Bible says, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This is the church that God has put His name on. This is the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. I'm free tonight. Are you free? Are you free? Do you feel that blessed blessing down in your soul? Do you feel really special tonight that God is real close to you? God is blessing your life and blessing your actions. Blessing your words. They're seasoned with salt and with grace. We're kind to our children. We're loving to our family. Are you free tonight? Are you living something that you've been living for many years? You think people haven't seen through it yet? Let me tell you something about people seeing through something. Years ago, don't really like to talk about this much, but I want to give you an example. Years ago, I was quite a drinker. And there were times when I knew that certain people were going to be around me, and I thought that I was real clever and I did real good about covering it up. Now you take someone that's had a drink of alcohol and come in amongst the saints, how long do you think that's going to be covered up? Dear ones, the Word of God is going forth tonight. How long do you think you're going to be covered up under the Word of God? Won't happen. It'll uncover you. In closing, I thought about the 10 virgins. 5 being wise. And 5 being foolish. 5 of them had oil in their lamps. 5 didn't. But they all went out to meet the bridegroom. You know, if there's folks here tonight that have oil and folks here that don't have oil and the Lord comes, we're all going to go meet the bridegroom. And when the ones found out they didn't have the oil, they went to get some, and what happened? He closed the door. He closed the door. Oh, don't let the door close. Don't let the door close on your soul. This is the time for the weeping and the wailing. Don't wait until you step over into eternity and the gnashing of teeth become a part of it. It'll be too late then. This is your time. This is the opportunity. Do you have conviction upon your life? Do you have conviction upon your soul? Is your heart broken? Do you know sin kills conviction? If you allow sin to come be a part of your life, it will kill the conviction in your life. It'll kill it. Things just don't seem to be as important to me anymore. And the next thing I know, I've lowered the standard. May the Lord help us tonight. Let's get a song. I feel like the Lord has blessed me with delivering my burden. I leave you with one final thought that says that to have known the truth and die lost because we can't humble ourselves is a very sad thing. To have known the truth and die lost just because you're not willing to humble yourself.